Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message.
It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near your dwelling place. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling." I'm gonna read that one more time, make sure y'all are awake. "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling place." Do I even have to tell you what any kind of plagues are out there today? All right. "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The lion and the dragon shalt they trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon me." He's not talking about He's talking about you and your love towards Him. "Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him." Does the Bible not say in Psalm 34 and verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers you out of them all"? Thank you, Holy Spirit. "And honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Come on, let's say it together. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Come on, one more time. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Who came to have church this morning? God, I thank you by the Spirit of God. I pray for the deaf ear that it open right now in Jesus' name. I pray by the Spirit of God that the deaf eye would open and see in Jesus' name. Not only in the physical, God, but in the spiritual. I pray that you awaken things in our heart today. You awaken things in us. Move us, guide us, direct us. God, I pray that you would move mightily in here. We worship you. We magnify your name. Lord, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Lord, I speak a great awakening, great shaking, revival in our hearts, minds. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you need this message. If you don't have a neighbor, yell it across the room and say, I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord today. Amen? All right. Or actually, the second neighbor's the one that you have to tell, I'm sorry that you're my second neighbor. And if it was against your wife, well, I pray they're in the house of the Lord and they'll forgive you. Who's happy to be here today? Amen? I'm so thankful. We've been in this series called Unafraid. Everybody say Unafraid. Come on, how many of y'all, over the last couple of weeks, there's been something that's charged on the inside of you that you don't have to live in fear anymore? I'm not afraid anymore. I think about Macaulay Culkin on Home Alone when he's looking down at the guys when he's up in the treehouse. I'm not scared of you anymore. How many of y'all were going to tell the devil, I ain't scared of you anymore? Amen. And so we've been studying Unafraid because obviously if you've watched the news or if you've lived any life in the last couple of years, there's people scared. In Texas, we say scared. They're scared, are they not? They're scared. They're freaked out. They don't want to live life. But I don't know about you, but to live as Christ and to die is gain. I'm not going to be controlled by the agenda of this world, the agenda of this government, the agenda of the accuser of the brethren, but I'm going to live life and live life to the fullest. Because in him we can have life, and life more abundantly is what the Bible says in John 10, verse 10. I ain't going to follow the voice of the one who comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I'm telling you, the voice of fear is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul is writing to this young preacher of Ephesus. His name is Timothy. It's a time of great persecution, lots of things against the church. First thing that he tells him, he says, stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you that was put on you by the laying on of hands. We read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, of how the elders of the church laid their hands upon them. In fact, it's very important that you understand the laying on of hands. Amen? Because there's a transfer of anointing that happens. In fact, it's one of the foundational things that he talks about in Hebrews chapter 6. It's the meat and the milk of the Word of God that we need to understand. And then it goes to verse 7, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Everybody say power. Love. Everybody say love. And a sound mind. Power. We've been talking about power, and the Bible is very clear to us from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. I'm going to go ahead and review, if that's okay. How many of y'all, it's okay that I review? All right, amen. If you'd have said no, I'd have done it anyway, okay? Just saying. I'm the one with the microphone. I'm louder than you guys right now. But it says power, and how many of y'all know we've got to have power in our life? Power. The Bible tells us that there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power from the very beginning of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. He points a picture to you and I, just like the story of the Passover lamb, that the innocent had to die for the guilty. That I believe this, from the blood of Jesus covers you from the top of your head to the soles to the very tips of your toes. And his strength flows into my weakness. By the blood of the Lamb, I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am an overcomer because of the blood of Jesus. I don't have to walk in fear because I have the power of the blood. Can I get an amen out there? I mean, I'm thankful for the power of the blood. And then the next thing we talked about was the power of the name of Jesus. There was power in the name of Jesus. We sang about it just a while ago. And in his name is power. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are made safe. Every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible tells us he's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't know about you, but I want to serve the one that's at the beginning and I want to serve the one that'll be there at the end. Amen. He's Jehovah Rohi. He is our shepherd. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, he is our shepherd. We don't have to want. He leads me beside green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. How many of y'all thankful that he's your shepherd? He's Jehovah Rapha. He's your healer. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. No matter what circumstance or what brick wall you're up against, I'm telling you, there is a name that's above every name. That whatever circumstance you're going against, the name of Jesus has a name in there. He's not the I was, he is the I am, and there is power in the name of Jesus. We talked about the power of the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The Bible says this, Psalm 107:20, that he sent his word, and he healed us, and he delivered us from all destruction. The very words of Jesus and the word of God will be power to combat fear in your life. We've got to have the word of God on the inside of us. I'm telling you, the Bible says, I am living water. I am the bread of life. And when we speak those words, not only is it fills, it quenches our thirst, but it fills our hunger void. And when you're going through fear in your life, you need scriptures like 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We need scriptures like fear not. We need scriptures like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. If God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? Amen. We've got to have the word in us. We've got to have the power of praise. Power of praise. Everybody say praise. You know, it says in Psalm 150, he says, praise the Lord, praise him for his mighty acts, for his mighty deeds. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. You know what I've found in my life? When I just get in the presence of God and I begin to praise Him, when big things that I'm up against and heavy moments in my life, when I begin to praise the Lord, what am I doing? I'm making Him bigger than my circumstance. I begin to build Him up, and that thing begins to get smaller. I've told the story of David with the lion and the bear. He said, if He was with me with the lion and the bear, surely He will be with me against this uncircumcised Philistine. Meaning this, those things were big and mighty, but I serve the Almighty. And as I begin to praise, it begins to remind me, if He was there for the lion and the bear, He's going to be with me against the giant today. There's power in the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. There's a boldness that comes over you. The Holy Spirit will take the chicken out of you, is what we talked about. Last week we talked the power of prayer. The model prayer for you and I, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As you begin to pray, you're saying this, God, it's not on me, it's on you. And I am believing, God, that it not be my kingdom come, but it be your kingdom come. And that your will be done in this situation. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, I'm thankful that I have a God that I can call upon and that I can pray to, and He hears my call, and He begins to take care of my every need. But today I want to talk about, so that's power, and I could have given you very much more on power, but today I'm going to a transition of love. How many of y'all believe in 2021 we need to walk in love? What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Nobody knows what love is anymore. But we need to find out what love is, because this is something that combats fear. The opposite of fear is love. And how many of y'all know we're living in a crazy, dark time today? In fact, Paul is writing to this young pastor in Timothy. And I just want to show you guys some passage of text in Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Of what he's telling us what will begin to happen. And he's talking about the last days. Now, let me see a poll. How many of y'all believe we're living in the last days? All right. I truly believe we're living in the last days. I'm not saying that he's coming back tomorrow. I'm not saying that he's coming back next year. I'm not even saying that he's coming back in 10 years. But I will say this. I believe we're in the birth pains of Christ coming back for the church. I believe we're beginning to see the signs more and more. In fact, it's amazing. I listen to old preachers sometimes, and even Kenneth Hagin 35 years ago was talking about these are perilous times. But how many of y'all know I'd much rather live in the 80s right now than in 2021? Amen? And so he is writing to this young pastor, and he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. How many of y'all know we're living in perilous times? I'm going to ask that again. How many of y'all believe we're living in perilous times? It goes on to say, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know what I watch? When I watch Fox News, I see lovers that love them own selves. I'm going to say that again. You know what I watch when I see on NFL billionaires that are complaining about everything that's happened in the world? I see lovers that love themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, thank you, Dacia. I was looking for it in the first service. Everybody's quiet. I was like, surely one parent is in here that's going to go, glory, where you at, mama? Come on. Oh, Lord. Unthankful. I mean, we're putting Christmas trees out in the middle of September right now at Home Depot. It's like, y'all know Thanksgiving's coming up in November? I won't even tell them we put ours up yesterday, Brandy. Unholy. Moving right along. I almost said something first service. Your mom gave me that look that I am terrified of. She needs to walk in love. I Hey, we came to have some fun this morning, didn't we? Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent fears, despisers of those that are good. You know what we're seeing today? We're seeing good called evil and evil called good. The worse it is, the better it is for the news. But if you're good, I'm telling you, you are no good. If you live by the principles and teachings of the Word of God. So you beginning to see we're living in the perilous times today. Then we see in verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know what I see? And I'm going to show you today, there's many people, they would rather love the world than love God. They would rather say, you know what, I want one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. You've got to have both feet sunk into the kingdom of God if it's going to work for you. But how many of y'all know? I know people that there's people that I serve God with and grew up in the same God-fearing, one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, born-again, heaven-bound believers that I did. And I see that they have one foot in the world and one foot in the Word. And it's like they live a double standard. You know what the world sees you as? A double standard. How it fits you. I'm telling you, I'm reading today of what's going to happen in the end times, but I also want to tell you, the book of Joel says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and it's going to be the ones that have 2 feet in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I want the Spirit of God to move mightily in my midst and in my family's midst. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We have this cute wall in our house with all these crosses. But there ain't no Christ living on the inside of them. They talk the same. They look the same. They hang around all the same people. They do all the same things. But they got the cross wall, and it's so precious. Come on, I'm being serious this morning. I got a cross around my neck, but I still do all the same things. That is having a form of godliness, but lacking the power thereof. I watch Christian movies, and I listen to 91.1, like a good little boy. But there's no power on the inside of them. I'm telling you, John, it's hot in here again. They're looking at me with judgmental eyes. I don't care. Come on, we need to hear this morning. Because if we're not careful, we'll be right a part of what he's saying is going to happen in the last days. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of his will and a part of his kingdom. Goes on to say, from such, turn away. He also tried to show him what would happen in the last days in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's many people that serve God for many years, and there's lots of things that are being taught on television today that I can just live however I want to. That is a lie from the pit of hell. We've got to have a love for the Lord. And when you love the Lord, you'll do what he wants you to do. You'll go where he's called you to go, and you'll live in the call that he's called for you to live in. And so this morning, I just want to open our eyes to the attention of where we are in the world today. And if he said, how you combat fear is power and is love and is of a sound mind. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, he said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Can I tell you, not only was it them, but it's today that the eyes of the Lord are scanning the earth of people that are loyal to him. And not just loyal on Sunday morning, but loyal on Monday morning. Loyal on Tuesday morning and on Wednesday morning and on Thursday morning. Loyal inside of the break room when you're surrounded by all the people that are going to do the thing that you don't want to do, but there's pressure on you to go do the thing that you don't want to do. And you still stand strong and say, I'm not loyal to you. I'm not even loyal to the preacher. I'm not even loyal to the church, but I'm loyal to God, and God is keeping me accountable for how I've to live my life. Come on, are you getting something this morning? The eyes of the Lord are still looking today. We had a men's night last Sunday night, and I shared with them the prophet Ezekiel 22, verse 30. It's a place of even what God is describing in Timothy of what will happen in the latter days. It was going on in Jerusalem of how all these blasphemers and where good was called evil and evil was called good. And the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and he begins to say, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the Lord that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Can I tell you today, it makes my heart break that the Lord would look out over the earth and not find one man that would stand in the gap for him. It makes my heart ache that he would look out over the earth or even over this church that he couldn't find one man. I found a man that would do it on Sunday morning. I found a man that would do it on Wednesday night. But I need a man that's going to stand in the gap and build a wall 7 days a week, no matter what they're going through. God, if you can use anyone, God, you can use me. See, it's the story of the young ruler, or the young lawyer in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. There's Pharisees and Sadducees there, and he's beginning to teach. And they ask him this question, tempting the Lord, and say, what is the greatest? He asked this lawyer, or this lawyer asked Jesus, he said, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Well, he knows what the law is. He just wants to know what's the greatest when he asked Jesus this. And all of us know what the law is, and he knows what the law is, but just to refresh your memory, the law is this. From Exodus 20, you shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Now I have the hillbilly version for you too. Some of y'all will get this better than that English stuff. All right, JC. All right, here we go. There ain't but one God. Now, I'm just reading what I'm saying, Dr. Charlie. Ain't is not a word. Ain't but one God. Honor your mom and pa. No telling tales or gossiping. Get your hide to the Sunday meeting. Ain't nothing coming before the Lord. No fooling with another feller's gal. Like, oh, that's what that means. Okay. No killing except for critters. Quit your foul mouthing. No swiping your kinfolk stuff. That was good. Like, why is it got to be your kinfolks? Because the Lord knew. All right. And don't be hankering for it neither. And so he begins to ask him. He goes, I know what the law is, but God, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, without hesitation, he says this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And in Luke 10, it says, with all thy strength. It says, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as they love thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws of the prophets. You know, I hear this from time to time. In fact, that video of me roping that cow on TikTok went completely viral again. The staff was like, you need to get on TikTok. I'm like, no, it's the Chinese. I'm not doing it. But you know what? The Chinese, they need to hear the word of God. Yeah. Amen. But there was people on there who was like, this looks like the prosperity message. You know, there's all those naysayers out there. It's like, well, who doesn't believe in prosperity? What if I came up here and say, God's will for you is to be broke? Broke, broke, broke. I hope that you are broke in the city, broke in the field, but it doesn't say that. It says blessed in the city and blessed in the field. But there's always naysayers out there, and one of the comments was like, you know what? I don't want to serve a God that says I can't do this and can't do that. I want to do whatever I want to do. See, I love it about this, that he says if you do the thing that you can do, you won't want to do the things that you can't do. I'm going to say that again. There's so many people, it's like, well, I don't want to serve the Lord because, you know, I can't do that. And, you know, I can't sleep with her no more. And I mean, I can, but I can't. And I can't live in the world like I want to, but here's the deal. If you really get revelation of this and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, you won't worry about the things that you can't do, because the thing that you can do will bring you joy. The thing that you can do will bring you love. The thing that you can do will bring you fulfillment, that nothing of those things that you're worried about that you can't do that will bring you void and destruction. Come on. I'm running out of breath. We need to be in a place that we do the thing that we can do, and it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Come on, are you hearing me this morning? I'm excited because I love the Lord my God. Do I mess up? Yes, I do. But you know what? When I love the Lord my God, as a dad, I'm a better dad. When I love the Lord my God, I'm a better husband. When I love the Lord my God, I'm a better boss. When I love the Lord my God, I'm a better employee. When I love the Lord my God, I'm a better American. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Are you getting this morning? That's why he said it's the greatest commandment. And it's not based on the things that you can't do. See, if you just get the first one, you'll get all the other ones right. And so now we go to our text in Psalm 91. You're like, Pastor, you read that at the beginning. Where does this come in? Well, all of us love this text in Psalm 91. And the first thing that I see, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to ask you this. Depending on whether or not you're going to live in fear, you've got to watch where you dwell. Right? I mean, there's family members that we love, but there's family members that we can't hang around with no more. And it's not that we don't love them and don't want to share the love of God with them. It's not that. But bad communication corrupts good morals. And just like the enemy is a penetrator, he penetrates. And over time, one poke's not a problem, but every weekend, poking and poking and poking, you'll find yourself living right under the spirit of fear. Come on, I'm just giving you wisdom this morning. And so you've got to learn to know where you dwell. Are you dwelling in the house of the Lord? Is it something that's common to you to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning? Are you dwelling in the house of the Lord on Wednesday nights? Are you dwelling in the house of the Lord as much as you can? Are you dwelling in his word? Are you dwelling in praise and worship? Are you dwelling in prayer? He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I told the story this morning of the little bear that was in the woods. The squirrel was afraid of the little bear. The rabbit was afraid of the little bear. The deer was afraid of the little bear. The little bear thought he was something else. Finally, one time, one of the rabbits spoke up and said, I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of what's behind you. It's Papa Bear. See, here's the deal. We're nothing, but with God, all things are possible. And we are living under the shadow of him. I'm telling you, the enemy is not afraid of you, but he's afraid of what's on the inside of you. When you dwell in the house of the Lord, when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The second thing is this, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Not only do we need to dwell in the right place, we need to say the right things. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say, let the weak praise. It doesn't say, let the weak pray. It says, let the weak say. Because there comes a time where you got to stop praising and praying, and you've got to start saying. That's why I'm so grateful for people that are standing up for what's going on inside of America today that is against the moral compass of people that have been, God, we put our trust. We've prayed. Now it's time to start saying. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm going to be a sayer. Wouldn't be the first time I've been in Facebook jail. But I'm going to walk in love. Praise the Lord. All right. Zuckerberg, you hear me out there? But we all love this text. We love that he'll deliver us from the snare of the fowler. We say it. We love that he will cover us with his feathers. We love it that we don't have to be afraid of the terror by night. We love to say his pestilence. We don't have to be afraid of the pestilence that walketh in the darkness. We love to say that he'd keep his angels charge over us, keep us in all our ways, that no evil befall us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. that he bear us up in his hands, lest we dash our foot against the stone, that we will tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Isn't that all good stuff? We love all of that. But what we see in verse 14 is the reason that you get all of that is why? Because you set your love upon him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And when you love him like that, with that adoration towards him, care about the things that he cares about, do the things that he's called you to do, go where he's called you to go, be in the perfect will of God and love him like he's talking about, what will happen is no evil will befall you, no weapon forged against you will prosper. When you set yourself in love, he says he'll keep his angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways. You know, I hear of things that happen to people, freak accidents and crazy stuff. And I think to myself, like particular things that happen, I think to myself, that would have never happened if they really loved the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. Because they wouldn't have been doing or being around the people that they were doing it with if they loved their Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. Are you hearing me this morning? And so I have this analogy for you. I was a youth pastor for many years. And so what people do is they come out on a Sunday morning and they give their life to the Lord. And this is what this represents you, your life, this nail here. And what we do is we get in a relationship with the Lord and we get fire insurance. It's going to keep us out of hell. But there's so much more that God has in store for you. And so when I was thinking about all of these happen, all of these great things in Psalm 91 happen to those who set themselves in his love, I thought about a nail that is set inside the wood. See, I see so many believers, they still got all of this out in the world and only that much inside the kingdom of God. He's saying you've got to set yourself in love. And see, these people right here, you can always tell them because they're always offended. Because one person can take them out. One person. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe she did that. It's because they don't love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. He didn't say love the preacher. He didn't say love the church. He didn't say love the man. He said love me. Get your focus on me. Set it in me. I'm not saying we won't have feelings, we won't have things, but and you know those people, they're like, you know, they give their life to Christ, they get maybe even a little bit, and there's that one thing that the enemy begins to whisper in your ear. You're not gonna make it. You're sick. There's no way you're gonna live in doubt and disbelief and shame, and the world will do whatever he can to get you out of the love of God. But he's saying the ones that live under the promise of Psalm 91 is the ones who are set. I'm not living by the things of this world. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm in prayer. I'm gonna stay in prayer no matter what I hear, no matter what I feel. I'm gonna stay faithful to the house of God. I'm gonna stay faithful to my wife, to my kids. I'm gonna love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I'm gonna get flush. And see, here's the deal. Where's my nail? This is what happens. When you're here, that's not only gonna be praying to you, that's gonna be praying to everybody else. You ever tried to walk through a door that has a nail sticking out? It scrapes your arm. It grabs a hold of you, rips clothes off of you. How many of y'all know about hangnails? That they stick out. They're not only painful to you, they're painful to the people around you. And dad, if you have a hangnail that's sticking out in the world, it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect your kids. Dad or mom. If you have one foot, just a little bit of dab in the house of God, but you lack a power thereof, you have a form of godliness in there, it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your kids. It's going to affect the people that you get around you. But I'm here to tell you, that one right there that is set, there is nothing that's going to snag it. There's no mindset. There's no agenda. There's no person. There's no offense. There's no sickness. There's no disease. You guys, y'all think I'm crazy? Listen, that's no way to live right there. You can get bent like that. But look at this one that's set right here. He's not bent. He's in. And even though the enemy's going to do everything he can to get you out of there, but when you're sunk in, when you're set in the love of God, I love him with all my heart, with all my mind, and all my strength. And it doesn't mean that you ain't going to feel the repercussions of the enemy trying to get into your territory. It doesn't mean that you ain't going to feel that. You're still going to feel some things, but I got news for you. The weapon may be forged against you, but it will not prosper when you're set in the love of God. You've got to be set in the love of God. Set in the love of God. Come on, let's be set in the love of God. I was this morning, actually, in the first service, the Lord reminded me of it, and I went ahead and got the text. But I think about people in Scripture that were set in the love of God, and I think about Daniel. I think about, here he is, grows up in a very, the Bible, or history tells us, in a very wealthy home in Judah. And three different times, the Babylonians tried to come and take over Judah. Finally, they get it done under the power of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, he comes and he begins to take these young boys and conform them of how the Babylonians think. In fact, the Bible tells us that there were three children of Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And Daniel, the name of Daniel, it means God is my judge. But Nebuchadnezzar takes him and says, when you live in this world, you've got to think like my world. You've got to do what my world does. You've got to speak like my world speaks. And they even gave him a different name. And I'm telling you, the world's going to call you a different name than you really are. Right? We're going around. There's believers right now that they're calling you name. You're not really in the love of God because you're not doing what the government told you to do. Well, if it's against this, then I'm not doing it. This is my constitution. Amen. And it used to be America's, but we're believing to get back to that. So he says, we see in the text here that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that Nebuchadnezzar gives them a different name: Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The name Daniel meant God is my judge. Belteshazzar meant Baal is my judge. The world will do everything he can to get inside of your home. He'll do everything he can to get inside of your life. The enemy will. The world will. But the Bible says this in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. You know what we've got to do as believers? If we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. See, he felt 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I'm not afraid of what you think. I have a fear for the Lord. And no matter what you say against me, no matter what you come against me with, I'm telling you, if God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? And in my lifestyle and in my actions, I'm going to purpose in my heart, because I love the Lord my God with all my heart, I'm not going to do it. You can tell me to, but I ain't doing it, or I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Come on, you need to put this in your heart today. If I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, I'm going to purpose in my heart not to do what the world wants me to do. See, there's people that live in fear today because they're doing things that they know inside of their heart they're not supposed to do, and they live under fear. I'm telling you, they're afraid that God's going to judge them. God's going to rain down fire on them. See, if they're just in the love of God, they know that that's not the will of God for your life. And if you just loved him anyway, you'd be doing what he called you to do and going where he called you to go. Come on, are you hearing me this morning? John, you can go ahead and come up here. Here's another example that I wanted you to see is in Hebrews chapter 11 when we see the fathers of the faith. And he talks about Moses. And he said this in verse 24, by faith Moses, and we know that by faith worketh love. Right? Galatians 5:6 tells us this. In fact, let me just read that to you real quick. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, when he's talking about the Spirit. Galatians 5, I think it's 5:6. I'll know it when I get there. It says, but faith worketh by love. What's the Bible say? It says faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is, listen, he said, have faith in God or have the faith of God. Jesus said that. But I'm here to tell you right now, you're going to have a hard time walking by faith and not by sight if you don't first love the Lord. I'm telling you, it's by faith we're saved. And it's going to be hard for you to walk in faith and have the faith of God if you don't first love God. So it says this, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Did Pharaoh's daughter raise him? Yes, she did. I'm just here to tell you, if you're going to be somebody who loves the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, you've got to be somebody that refuses to live by the culture of this world. Refuse it. Absolutely refuse it. Did she raise him? Yes. But he said, I may be in this world, but I am not of this world. The Bible's very clear in Psalm 1. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and when we meditate on it, day and night will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth due fruit in due season. He says, our leaf will not wither, and whatever we put our hand to shall and will prosper. I'm not conformed to this world. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. He refused. You know what I'm asking of you people of God? Be people that refuses to live by the things of this world. You know what it says in 1 John? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's a promise to you and me for those who are set in the love of God. So my question to you today is this. Which ones of you, you got a foot in the world and you've got a foot in the kingdom of God? Actually, you don't even have a foot. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. My question this morning to you is this. I believe as I was speaking, there's people that saying, you know what, there's things in my life that I still, there's things that I just don't want to give up. I'm telling you, it's so worth it. Pastor Shannon, is it worth it? It's so worth it. I'm telling you, with long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. What a promise from the Father. What a promise from the Father. Psalm 23. When he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He goes on to end to say, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I don't know about you, but in 2021, I need goodness and I need mercy. Come on, who needs goodness and who needs mercy? I need mercy. And I'm not going to tell you right now to tell you that there's things in my life that ain't hanging out. I'm going to be bold right now and tell you that. I am not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's things in my life that I need to set in the love of God. But I hope you see this morning, you're going to be, listen, you're going to have a hard time making it as a dad if you're not set. You're going to have a hard time making it. Because if you don't love God, you're not going to love your children with the love of God. If you don't love God, you're going to have a hard time loving your husband. You're going to have a hard time loving your wife if you don't have the love of God. In every area of life, we've got to be set. I'm not going by my emotions. See, love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul. That's my mind, my will, and my emotions. Come on, when I'm set in the love of God, I'm not moved by what I see or what I feel. I'm moved by Him. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 my right hand, but none will come near my dwelling place because I'm set in His love. Are you guys getting this morning? You feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof when you have or set in the love of God. It's not have this. It's my cake and I'll eat it too. A little dab will do me. Well, Sunday morning, stay. Monday, not Tuesday. No, not Wednesday. Wednesday night, let's see here. Thursday, no. Friday, definitely not. I'm telling you, that's a scary place to live. Come on, can I tell you that's a scary place to live? There's people in counseling all the time, I say, is there sin in your life? Well, I don't think so. I'm telling you, when you have a snaggler out there, you're going to grab all the things that you don't want, and it's going to affect every part of your life. Here's another one. I just got to point this out. There's people who say this. Tithing, you can have 1%, God. Just one. Already offended some. I don't even care. But I'm telling you, the ones these right here, they know He'll supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, I'm going to be that out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, definitely Sunday. I'm not even flush with the wood. I'm like embedded into it. I want to be embedded in the love of God. Come on, who wants to be embedded in the love of God? With every eye closed, every head bowed, with every eye closed. If you're in here and you say, Pastor, you know what? That's me. I'm that nail that's sticking out. Just be bold right now. Be bold right now. Amen. I see that hand. I know there's more in the room. If that's you, just keep your hand raised. If that's you, just keep your hand raised. Be bold today. Be bold today. Say, you know what? I got 1 foot in the world and I got 1 foot in the kingdom. Today, I'm going to get things right. I'm not going to leave here. I'm going to be set in the love of God. Come on, keep your hand raised if that's you. I believe the Lord's speaking to people right now in Jesus' name. There's relationships that need to diminish. There's mindsets that need to go in Jesus' name. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for these that have their hands raised. I pray for them right now. I speak over their thoughts and over their minds. I pray, Lord, that they would see themselves in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. I pray, Lord, that you would make them, as they begin to love you, that they would be a better daddy. As they begin to love you, that they'd be a better mother. To begin to love you, that they would be a better wife, a better husband. Lord, as they begin to love you with all of their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with everything in them. Lord, as they pick their friends, they love you first. Before they go into that place that they know they're not supposed to, may they love you first. Before they buy it, they love you first. Love you with all their heart. I speak over them now in Jesus' name that they love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And Lord, as they begin to do that, they love their neighbors, they love themselves. As they begin to do the cans, they won't worry about the cans. Set them in your love today, Lord. Set them in your love today. In Jesus' name. Still with every head bowed, with every eye closed, you can put your hand down and you say, Pastor, you know what? I can honestly say I don't have a relationship with the Lord. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What I shared with you this morning is the gospel. It's the good news. It's the gospel that he gave his son for you and I, died on a cross, was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And it's very easy. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he died on the cross and on the third day rose again, he'd come live on the inside of you. And can I tell you this? That you may feel lonely. You may feel insecure. You may feel like you're all alone, like you're living this world all by yourself. I want to tell you today that he's a friend that'll stick closer than any brother. You're feeling isolated. I'm telling you, you invite him into your heart. He'll fill voids in your life that no man, no person, no pastor could ever do. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know the people that I've hurt. No, I don't. And I don't care. I just know this. You cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He would fill voids in your life, hurts in your life, places that have brought pain for many years, for many times. Don't leave here today without knowing Jesus is your Savior. If you're in the room today, you say, Pastor, I knew him one time, but I can say that I've turned my back on him. Don't leave here without dealing with that. So if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer loud. If you've never prayed it before, pray it loud. I want also to all the other believers that are in the room that have prayed it, pray it with me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, you were buried, and on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I believe, and I confess with my mouth, that you are my Lord. Come live in my heart. Make me new. From this day forward, I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's make an agreement together as a family that our neighbors will see, you know what? The Bennetts are set in his love. The Cooks are set in their love, in his love. The Davisons are set in his love. The Tedders are set in his love. The Kennedys are set in his love. The Ahas set in his love. The Rahmans set in his love. Garth set in his love. Who's with me this morning? Come on. The Fosters set in his love. The Kionis is set in his love. I'm telling you, your kids will see it. Your wife will see it. To be set in his love. Pastor
Robert. Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.